Good morning. Welcome to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. Thanks for tuning in today. So close to Thanksgiving holiday, and I know everybody's getting ready to kick off the season, and we're about to wrap up a season, guys, of a strong year. In the markets, a strong year for investors. Mike had a little bit of volatility this week. Of course, the naysayers were all out there that the end is near and, you know, the bull market's over, and it's nonsensical when you hear stuff like that. But all in all, your impressions of the week and also kind of what's going on for the whole year?
Yeah, as you mentioned, a little bit of volatility middle of the week. I think, again, the, you know, uncertainty around the tax reform and the tax plans that are being projected, whether that can get done here, creates a little bit of that volatility, as well as I think we saw a company like GE, you know, who had to make some changes to their overall business plan and cut their dividend and things like that, all of a sudden, you know, drive down some prices. And when you get a big component like the, like GE is for the Dow, and their stock's going down 7.5-8% over the course of a day, that can make a drastic impact. But then, as we saw late in the week, Walmart, Cisco,
yeah,
a couple strong other components come out with really big, strong earnings numbers. And as we've said, that's really the fundamental piece that's been driving the market. So regardless of what's going on with the tax plans, other things like that, strong earnings from companies continue to push the market back up. So as we saw the, you know, end of the bull markets here and the naysayers all come out in the middle of the week, all of a sudden by Thursday, Friday, it's back to, oh, we're still in a good position and things are still going to go up. And so, again, we always caution people to kind of avoid those headlines, yeah, and don't react to what happens in a day-to-day movement of the markets.
Chris, what do you think about the week, and what are some of the things that kind of caught your attention and maybe going forward to the last quarter too?
Yeah, I mean, I think Mike hit on the main points of that is just more continued strong earnings. I think, you know, we've seen as we go into the holiday season, consumer sentiment still as strong as it has been in quite some time. And I think, you know, it's fueled by people are seeing, you know, good years so far in their 401k, if they're invested anywhere, growth oriented. And I think you started to see more details come out regarding the tax plan,
mm-hmm,
whether or not they include some provisions in the House bill or the Senate bill. Certainly looking like we're going to get some votes sometime before the end of the year. But you never know. And I think that's the thing that we've been cautious about, or trying to at least put out there for folks, that if you see something that doesn't turn out the way maybe a lot of people expect, which, you know, given the events of the last couple of years, we are, you know, usually poised to see some things that maybe don't go always the way people predict them. So, you know, that could always cause some volatility if we see, hey, even on the corporate side, things aren't maybe not going to get done or be as clean as what they're proposed to be, could cause some volatility. But you have to keep it in perspective that it's just one event, and it's not something that you would want to derail, you know, a perfectly good diversified financial plan for.
One of the things that caught my attention, we've talked about the Dodd-Frank, and which came about in 08 as a result of the financial crisis, and it looks like there's a bipartisan movement right now, guys, that will basically kind of take the clamps off of community banks, the smaller, under 10 million especially in this area would be affected, and in essence, it's not going to saddle them with as much regulatory handcuffs as was done for all, it treated like a, you know, $250 billion organization. So I think the local bankers that I've talked to are very happy about that, because it might ease some of the stringent regulatory handcuffs that have been on them, might lower the possibility of some capital requirements, possibly drop down some FDIC insurance that they're now paying big dollars for. So I think that might have some effect on the financials as we go forward, but we'll just have to wait and see on that. Chris, what oil prices a little bit? I've kind of seen been kind of a mixed bag. It's been in that $56-$57 range. I know folks at the pump are, you know, maybe seeing a little bit, but I noticed in the latter part of the week things dropped back down into that, you know, $239-$240 range for regular.
Yeah, something we've been looking at here over the last few weeks, and it's actually been trending a little bit higher price per barrel of oil. Obviously, that's, you know, related to a little bit higher price per gallon that you're paying, and you know, while I still think that there's an abundance of petroleum resources, especially in our country, but and then, of course, abroad, that, you know, it's probably going to be a long time before we see, you know, some of the oil prices that we saw 4 and 5 years ago. But I also think that with the increased demand, with a lot of this new construction, new building that we've seen, you're starting to see demand for oil creep up. So I think that's probably more so factoring into kind of this little intermittent rise that we've seen. And, you know, again, it's a commodity like anything else. It's cyclical. Maybe it's on its way back up as far as the commodities, but still very reasonable compared to 5, 6, 7 years ago.
Last point I'll make before break is we're getting ready to the big shopping time following Thanksgiving, and we'll get into that next 3 weeks. And all indications are it's going to be a pretty good year by and large. I think the online stores are probably poised to do a little bit better, but I think in general we could see a pretty strong year for retail. Guys, need to take a break. When we come back, got a couple more topics to talk about today. Back in just a minute.
When I ask our moms and dads why they chose Katie's Kids, they don't hesitate to tell me that it's the low adult-to-child ratio in our classrooms. And it's the experienced and patient teachers that guide and care for their children every day. Hi, this is Katie, owner of Katie's Kids Learning Center. Our primary caregiving model ensures your child receives the one-on-one attention they want and deserve. What's important to you? Call or come in today to Katie's Kids in Normal or in Bloomington, or visit us online at katieskids.net. Developing relationships, the heart of quality care.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. I'm John Rudy from Kingston Wealth Management. We are here every Saturday morning about this time, and we've got a lot of great topics that I think we've covered throughout the year. Certainly want to thank everybody for all the nice phone calls, and we've got a chance to meet a lot of folks as a result of this show. And before the end of the show, we'll give you our number, too, in case you want to call these guys and get some information. Guys, one of the things that we try to talk about in our business each year is what are some of the things that you can do year-end? There's you know, a lot of things may or may not have changed for folks in 27. Maybe you've started a new job. Maybe it's a retirement, start a new family. All those things that come into to play. And I think it's an opportunity for folks to maybe look and see what is there still time to do some things. Mike, one of the things I don't think we've spent a lot of time talking on this show about tax loss harvesting, but explain a little bit about how that could help somebody in the right circumstance.
Yeah. And, you know, in a really good market like this, it might be a little more difficult than years in 2008 and 2009. Really what it is you're looking at mutual fund stock holdings you have that maybe you could sell at a capital loss in the event to then offset it against other gains or other income. So it's something, you know, from our perspective that we probably don't focus on as much because we're more looking at the overall picture and the allocation and keeping it where mm-hmm. it needs to be for your long-term future, especially from the, you know, we've talked about on the show about rebalancing. So instead of selling those things that are at a loss, you might actually be doing the opposite and buying back into them when things are down. Yeah. But it's something that we've seen other advisors or just from a general strategy people employ at the end of the year. Especially if they know maybe it's a holding they've, you know, an individual stock they've held in their account for whatever reason, and it no longer fits their overall investment objective. Well, maybe it makes sense to sell it if it's at a loss and offset those against other gains you may have.
Sure. Chris, one of the things that people have to always make that determination, do you itemize deductions? If you do, that's great. But there's a good time now to start getting some of those receipts, paperwork. What are the things that you counsel clients, because it comes fast and you're scrambling, it seems like.
Yeah, and a lot of the things that you would, you know, itemize on your deductions as far as, you know, mortgage interest, taxes mm-hmm. that you've paid, you know, you'll get something from your institution or your bank for those exact numbers. But, you know, keeping a file of those things are important. But, you know, charitable gifts that mm-hmm. you've made throughout the year, especially if they're of higher denomination that you need to keep track of, can be very important. Maybe some health bills that you've had throughout the years, if they rise to a certain level
right.
of your adjusted gross income, you potentially could deduct those as well. So any of your major expenses, it's probably good to keep track of. And if you've paid anything with credit cards, you can always kind of go back through your statements through the year to kind of see what some of those larger expenses were. You can look at bank statements too, mm-hmm. just to see what your major transactions were. But a lot of those charitable institutions that are set up to receive donations, I know Goodwill will offer a receipt for items that you've dropped off. Other places can, allow you to print online as far as what you've donated. So just keeping track of those records if that's the route that you go.
Mike, we talk a lot about whether or not folks have the ability to ramp up 401k retirement contributions like 401ks. There's an opportunity, I think, from time to time when you get towards the end of the year where you might be able to make an adjustment if you particularly know maybe there's a bonus coming, things of that nature. But if you haven't maxed out and if you haven't reached that point, that's something you can really take a look at.
Yeah, absolutely. Not only does it help from a retirement planning perspective, but again, the tax savings. So those dollars that are pushed into a 401k through salary deferral come right off that top dollar, mm-hmm. Up to that $18,000 we've talked about, or $24,000 if you're over 50. So if you're in a position where you haven't gotten to those numbers yet and there's going to be some additional income, or you don't need to take it all home, push more and more of that into your 401k if you can before December 31st.
Yeah, it's really it's a great thing if people can do that. And generally it's making an arrangement with human resources, figuring out a way to do it, maybe with a last check or two. But that's one of those things that if you can do it and you can afford to do it, that's just a real win-win for everybody. Chris, you mentioned gifting a little bit ago and how you keep track of those receipts. But thinking about gifting in general as an end-of-the-year move, this is the time when you start thinking about how to do it, what's eligible, what are some of the things that people can take advantage of.
Yeah, typically this is when we see people, holiday season, end of the year. So, talk about, if you've got some potential taxable events that mm-hmm. maybe doing some gifting. And again, when you get into anything tax related, you always want to consult with your tax preparer as far as the effect of any gifts or filing any gift tax returns if you're doing anything larger than about $14,000 mm-hmm. per person this year, which you can give without having any type of gift tax implication. But it's always something to consider.
Mike, we've talked about Roth IRAs on this show and the difference between the traditional and the Roth. There's a time, I guess, folks should they consider converting all or part of a traditional IRA into a Roth IRA? Are there some circumstances where that might make some sense?
Yeah, and this is one of the specific topics I definitely encourage people to talk to an advisor mm-hmm. on, and even talk to your tax preparer, your accountant, whoever you use for that. Understanding how that works, what the pros and cons are of that is important. You're transferring money out, so you're going to pay tax on the dollars. And you really have to pay those taxes from outside dollars. So it's not a matter of I'm going to move $10,000 from my IRA mm-hmm. To my Roth through a conversion, and then I also want you to pay another $2,000 out to pay the tax on it. That's going to cause some problems, so you need to have that money available through your
right.
normal taxes to cover that tax bill. So there's definitely benefits to it. And some people may say, hey, well, I was in a much lower tax bracket mm-hmm. this year because I only worked part of the year or whatever it is. But it's definitely something. Talk to a financial advisor, call our firm if you have questions, and talk with your tax preparer to make sure it makes sense specifically for you if you're thinking about doing that.
Great. One that I didn't know too much about, I've been doing a little bit of reading about, is something called the American Opportunity Tax Credit. And it allows individuals whose modified adjusted gross income is $80,000 or less and joint filers with $160,000 or less. It's a chance to claim a credit of up to $2,500 for qualified college expenses. Chris, what do you know about that? And is that something that you see talked about or utilized? And again, that's one of those things that your tax preparer, your accountant could probably shed a lot of light on, but I thought that was an interesting opportunity out there.
Yeah, it is something that is fairly common, actually, for folks, especially that have college-aged children, dependents that they can use for these qualified college expenses. And it's really something, I believe, and you kind of have to go back and kind of check the rules on some of these things. Again, check with your tax preparer, but can only use it for one person in your household per year.
Okay.
But again, check the qualifications on that. But yeah, anything you can do to identify, I mean, it's essentially for folks that qualify in an income level. I mean, that's a big credit to be able to use towards education, which we know is, you know, so expensive.
Yeah, and I think to wrap this up, I think part of the theme is if you don't address these things now and you get it to crunch time, sometimes people just let them fall through the cracks. They leave something out there that they really can take advantage of that's clearly, approved through the Internal Revenue Service. And so being prepared is always a good thing, and this is one particular case where we talk about that. We'll get later talking about things that you can do in 2018 in future shows. Guys, you need to take a break. Back in just 1 minute.
Some of the best experiences in life are carefully planned down to the last detail to ensure their enjoyment. Retirement living is no different. If you haven't thought about your options, Westminster Village wants to remind you that now is the time to plan ahead and do your research. Westminster Village believes in celebrating life by providing excellence in senior living through a continuum of care and services. Call today to schedule a tour and see how the campus can fit into your plans for the future. It's never too early to plan ahead, so be sure to ask about waiting list opportunities as well. Westminster Village is a continuing care retirement community offering independent living, licensed assisted living, and skilled nursing care, all on its 40-acre campus in Bloomington. Ask questions and stay updated by following them on Facebook and Twitter at Westminster VLG, or visit the website at westminstervillageinc.com to schedule your campus visit.
It's time for a change. Bloomington Normal Community Bank recently expanded from a loan office to a full-service bank, and we've been so well-received that we needed a new location. We're still on East Empire, but now at Carnahan Drive, near the airport.
We started in 1960 as a small community bank in Morton, and we have been a resource to Bloomington Normal businesses for decades. Backed by the strength of Morton Community Bank, with assets over $3 billion, we are large enough to handle your personal or commercial requirements.
Our bank is employee-owned. That means we have a vested interest in the success of the bank and its customers. And we have deep roots in this community. Call us at 309-433-9500 and one of our bankers will answer the phone.
Employee-owned, hometown service. That's Bloomington Normal Community Bank. Member FDIC. Look for the clock tower and you'll know. We have time for you.
Welcome back to the show, Money Matters. Thanks for tuning in this morning. I want to thank our sponsors who are with us each week. Bloomington Normal Community Bank, Baxter's Seafood Steaks Grill, wonderful place. Katie's Kids Learning Center and Westminster Village right here in Bloomington Normal. Guys, in the last segment, I want to talk a little bit about, we talked about the fiduciary rule, the change of the Department of Labor's rule. Maybe briefly, Mike, explain that fiduciary rule. And then one of the things that we want to kind of hit on is, you know, maybe why you might need one of those in retirement. What could help with that?
Yeah. Yeah. I think we've hit on this on the show, but just to kind of back up for the new listeners out there, the fiduciary is really someone who is held to that standard of putting a client's best interest first, right? So we've talked on the show many times about brokers versus fiduciaries or brokers versus advisors. Brokers are generally held to a suitability standard, so the recommendations they're making just have to be suitable for you and your situation. Mm-hmm. So they may have product A that pays them a much higher commission than product B, but both are suitable, so there's no conflict there under the suitability standard. Whereas someone under that fiduciary standard really has to be making sure they're giving you all the full disclosures and giving you whatever's the best product for you, regardless of how it benefits them.
Great.
And so that's where the Department of Labor rule really came out, to try to start to hold everyone to that standard to make sure people who are dealing with clients' money are putting their best interest first.
Chris, one of the things is fee disclosure has always been an issue in this industry. And if I'm correct, as a fiduciary, that's one of the things that you're charged with. Is that going to level the playing field, do you think, going forward under this rule that everybody's going to have to do that, particularly as it relates to retirement plans?
Well, yeah, certainly as it relates to retirement plans and IRA products. But I think the main goal of all of this is hopefully it's been in the news enough that consumers, customers, mm-hmm. clients, potential clients feel comfortable asking the person you're about to work with, hey, how do you charge for fees? Where is, you know, how do we pay for these services? Is it per transaction on a commission basis? So that's more of your traditional broker. Somebody calls you up, says, hey, I think we ought to buy X stock today. And it could be good for you. It's definitely good for them because mm-hmm. they're going to get
right.
compensated on that transaction. Or if they're more advisory based, where it's more of a kind of holistic planning, hopefully approach, or an asset under management where there's just a set percentage, a set number of basis points that is based on a kind of an annual fee. And a lot of people would argue that put kind of aligns the advisor and the customer and the client on the same way, because they have a vested interest in growing your mm-hmm. account just as you would. But number one, just knowing how those fees are just going to be disclosed, what they're for. So is it for just more than, hey, it's not just, hey, someone's allocating my account. They're actually committing to work with me on identifying my goals, keeping me on track for expenses, and kind of looking at everything in a larger sense. It can go a long way, I think, to justify in people's minds what they're paying, far more than just somebody giving them an individual and investment advice.
Mike, got just a few seconds left, but also finding out information. You guys really like to see clients do their research, find out who they're working with. Are they fiduciaries? Are they CFPs? There's a way to do that.
Yeah, absolutely. We've talked about FINRA broker check, FINRA broker check, and then SEC has one too. It's advisorinfo.sec.gov, where you can search the people you're kind of interviewing to take over those responsibilities.
Great show, guys. I hope you all have a great Thanksgiving. And also to our listeners, have a happy Thanksgiving. We'll be back next week with more Money Matters. Till then, this is John Rudy saying thanks for listening.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Many investors are unsure about the advice they are getting from their stockbroker or their financial planner. Individual investors owe it to themselves and their families to get a second opinion on their investments from a seasoned manager. The professionals at Kingston Wealth Management will make sure investments are consistent with your investment goals, defensive, generate sufficient income and growth, and are aligned with economic market conditions. What worked for your investment 6 years ago, or even 6 months ago, just may not be working for you today. We offer you a special, comprehensive second opinion, starting with a no-cost, no-obligation review of your current situation, goals, and concerns. We'll perform a thorough review of your financial plan and investment portfolio. For more information, call us at 663-9477 to schedule your personal review. Kingston Wealth Management, financial services above and beyond.
Securities offered through Valmark Securities, Inc., member FINRA, SIPC. Investment advisory services offered through Valmark Advisors, Inc., an SEC-registered investment advisor. Kingston Wealth Management, Inc. is a separate entity from Valmark Securities, Inc. and Valmark Advisors, Inc.
Have you been to Baxter's Restaurant and Chop House lately? If you haven't, you're missing one of the best dining experiences in the area. Enjoy a certified Angus beef hand-cut steak, or perhaps some of their seafood that's flown in daily, as fresh as you can get. Baxter's also features fine wines and spirits to complement their menu choices. And don't forget about daily happy hour specials and gift cards for the holidays. When you're looking for an enjoyable lunch or dinner experience, look no further than Baxter's. Located on East Empire across from the airport and now open in Champaign-Urbana.